Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We're hearing from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto. Chapter 70, entitled Lord Krishna's Daily Activities, text 38 and 39. I will chant text 38 and we can chant responsibly 39, please. Tavehitam ko rahati saduveditam. Svamaya yedam svijato nayachchata yadvidya manat mattaya vabhasate tasmai namaste svavilakshanatmane. Translation and purport by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. Who can properly understand your purpose? With your material energy, you expand and also withdraw this creation, which thus appears to have substantial existence. Obeisances to you, whose transcendental position is inconceivable. Purport. Srila Prabhupada explains Narada's realization as follows. My dear Lord, by your inconceivable potencies, you create this cosmic manifestation, maintain it, and again dissolve it. It is by dint of your inconceivable potency only that this material world, although a shadow representation of the spiritual world, appears to be factual. No one can understand what you plan to do in the future. Your transcendental position is always inconceivable to everyone. As far as I am concerned, I can simply offer my respectful obeisances unto you again and again. The word Svavilakshanatmane also indicates that Lord Krishna has his own unique nature and characteristics. No one is equal to God or greater than God. Text 39. Please repeat. Jivasya ya samsarato vimokshanam. Na janato narta vahacharirata. Lila vatarai svayasha pradapipakam. Prajvalayatva tam aham prapadye. Jivasya ya samsarato vimokshanam. Na janaton narta vahacharirata. Lila vatarai svayasha prada pradipakam. Prajvalayat Tvam tam aham prapadye. Jivasya ya samsarato vimokshanam. Na janaton narta vahacharirata. Nilabhatarai svayasha pradipakam. Prajvalayat tvam tam aham prapadye. Please chant. Jivasya yam samsarato vimokshanam. Na janato nata vahat charirata. Lalata Raisvaya Shapadipakam Rajvalayat Ram Ham Ham Prapadye Siyam Sam Sarato Vimokshanam Na Janato Nata Vahacharirata Vilabatarai Svayasha Pradipakam Prajvalayat Tvatam Aham Prapadye Divasyaya Samsarato Vimokshanam Na Janato Nata Vahacharirata Lilavatarai Svayasha Pradipakam Prajvalayat Tvatam Aham Prapadye. Ladies. Jivasyaya Samsarato Vimokshanam Najanato Nata Vahacharirata Ilavatarai Svayasha Pratiputakam Tadvaya Tvatam Aham Prapadye Jivasya. For the conditioned living being, Yah, He, the Supreme Lord, who, Samsarata, the conditioned soul, caught in the cycle of birth and death, Vimokshanam, liberation, Najanata, not knowing, Anarta, unwanted things, Vahat, which brings, Sharirata, from the material body, Lila, for pastimes, Avatarai, by his appearances in this world, Sva, his own, Yasha, fame, Pradipakam, the torch, Prajvalayat, made to blaze, Tva, you, Tam, that Lord, Aham, I, Prapadye, approach for shelter. Translation and purport by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. The living being caught in the cycle of birth and death does not know how he can be delivered from the material body, which brings him so much trouble. But you, the Supreme Lord, descend to this world in various personal forms, and by performing your pastimes, you illumine the soul's path with the blazing torch of your fame. Therefore, I surrender unto you. Please repeat. The living beings, caught in the cycle of birth and death, does not know how he can be delivered from the material body, which brings him so much trouble. But you, the Supreme Lord, descend to this world in various personal forms, and by performing your pastimes, you illumine the soul's path with the blazing torch of your fame. Therefore, I surrender unto you. Purport. Srila Prabhupada writes, Narada said, in the bodily concept of knowledge, everyone is driven by material desires, and thus everyone develops new material bodies, one after another, in the cycle of birth and death. Being absorbed in such a concept of existence, one does not know how to get out of the encagement of the material body. Out of your causeless mercy, my Lord, you descend to exhibit your different transcendental pastimes, which are illuminating and full of glory. Therefore, I have no alternative but to offer my respectful obeisances unto you. My dear Lord, you are the supreme Parabrahman, and your pastimes as an ordinary human are another tactical resource, exactly like a play on the stage, in which an actor plays parts different from his own identity. Hare Krishna. So Narada Muni is speaking here. In the previous chapter, the previous chapter described how Narada Muni visited the palaces of Krishna in Dwarka. Thousands of palaces there. And now Narada is getting darshan of Krishna. And Krishna has received him. It's in the assembly hall, I think, isn't it? Because when Krishna has 16,108 wives, and he lives with each one of them simultaneously, and at certain times of the day he leaves the house, his charioteer comes and takes him to the assembly house, and before he goes into the assembly house, all the different forms of Krishna come together in one. It goes into the assembly house. So he's receiving Narada Muni, and we know Narada Muni is a transcendental spaceman. He's described as spaceman because he travels in space. We're not sure exactly how he travels, whether it's by mantra or whether he's actually flying through the sky. We have that painting of him descending, I think, with a veena, playing his veena. But anyway, he can travel at will, as he desires, any place within the material world and the spiritual world. And he can do that. Not only he can do that, Prabhupada says that anyone can do that. But what do you need? You need to be qualified in the strength of devotional service, austerities, mystic power, and what is the other thing? Devotional service. How about that? Those four things. On the power of those four things, he can do it, and anybody else can do it. Because he doesn't have a material body. He has a spiritual body, and his appearances and disappearances are actually the same as the Lord's. They're non-different from Krishna's. Narada Muni appears as the son of Lord Brahma in the same way as Krishna appears as the son of Vasudeva. It's a transcendental birth, and he is the supreme spiritual master. Of course, Lord Brahma was his guru. He was the son of Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma was his guru. He was disciple of Lord Brahma. And from Narada Muni comes down the parampara from Lord Brahma. Narada Muni, Vyasadeva, etc. We have the parampara. So Narada Muni is always turning up in different pastimes of Krishna to facilitate the pastimes, to add a little bit of information to make the pastimes work better. And his appearances are, of course, according to his causeless mercy, he does these things. And he has the power to give the blessings to the conditioned souls as Krishna has. He has the same power to do that. And so in this instance, he's meeting Krishna. and Krishna is receiving him. It's interesting. Well, it's more than interesting, but Krishna received him as, according to, does anybody remember how it was? How did Krishna receive him? Does anybody remember? Yes. What was the criteria for what he did? Where did he get, you know, what was he following anything, or was he just doing his thing? Yeah. But the point made was that he worshipped Narada Muni according to the scriptural injunctions. Krishna worshipped him according to the scriptural injunctions. So Narada Muni is famous for as a Mahajan. He's a Mahajan. Why is a Mahajan? For following the principles and for his devotional service. He's Mahajan. So Mahajan, Mahajano Yena Kata Sapanta, a Mahajan is, there are 12 of them, and they are the personalities through whom we learn the principles of devotion. Through them, the knowledge of devotional service comes. Because they are qualified in different fields. So Narada Muni is a Mahajan, and we're told by the scriptures we have to follow in the footsteps of the Mahajans to be successful in life, in spiritual life. So what does that mean, actually? Narottam Das Thakur has said that Sadhu Shastra Guru Vakya Chitete Kore Aikya, that one must learn how to behave in spiritual life according to those three principles, Guru, Shastra, and Sadhu. This is how we understand whether we are in order or not. And actually, to do that means that is the real import of what it means to follow in the footsteps of the Mahajans, is to follow very strictly the references of Guru, Shastra, and Sadhu. And if any living entity does that, then they also become Mahajan. So, from those 12 principal authorities comes this understanding of spiritual life. Otherwise, how do we understand? How can we understand spiritual life, the concepts of devotional service? Because the scriptures state that we cannot understand by argument. By argument, we cannot understand. By logic, we cannot understand. Even by reference to the various scriptures, we cannot understand. Because if we study the scriptures, we will see so many different things stated, so many contradictions, it will be difficult to understand. So not by these means can we actually understand. Because of that, this knowledge of Krishna consciousness is described as being very confidential. So it can only be understood by this reference to Guru, Shastra, and Sadhu. And that's what it means to follow, to understand by reference to those principles. So what is the central point of those three things? We have example of the Sadhu is no less than Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, example of Sadhu. Shastra, we know, is the revealed Shastra. And Guru, is the guru is the person who confirms what is in the Shastra. So what is the central point of those three things? Which is the most important part? Shastra, yes. Shastra is important. Because if the guru doesn't repeat what is in the Shastra, he can be rejected. And Sadhu lives according to principles of Shastra. Guru also sets example of Shastra. So the Shastras are revealed Shastras. They're described all through the books. The Shastras are revealed, is it not? So the attempt to understand Krishna with the mundane senses, mind and senses, is very problematic for the simple reason that Krishna is beyond the range of our mind and senses, cannot be understood with the mundane mind and senses. So this is the reason we have to take, we have to hear from these three authorities. We have to be sure that what we are saying is confirms what Guru, Shastra, and Sadhu has said. Because once we deviate from those words, then, as Prabhupada says, we are finished. We are finished. Once we deviate, what is it? Once we add something, or alter it, or change it, or even make mundane comment, then it is no value. It becomes valueless. Right? It is our duty as devotees, of course, to spread this knowledge of Krishna consciousness. And it's our duty also to present it in a conclusive way, with no comment coming from mundane platform. No comments such as, I think, or in my opinion, or possibly, or perhaps, or maybe. This is very important for us, for our well-being also, because it's very difficult to try and explain the Shastras on the basis of our own mental prowess. That is a disaster. To try and understand it from the mundane platform is a disaster for us, because we'll always get it wrong. Because we're trying to understand it from a mind which is speculative. So that is why it's important that we have to hear from the qualified persons, and we have to, as a matter of duty, repeat what they have said without adulteration, exactly as it is said. And then we are valid. We can have potency to change the hearts of living entities, conditioned souls, by doing that. But once we change or alter or add, then it is of no value. It is no longer conclusive. So that's why we have to accept, as the Shastra is the main, we have to accept the Shastra before we can understand it. We must accept. Otherwise, we will never understand. If we try on our own prowess, according to our own experience, we will not understand. First, we have to accept. That qualifies us to understand if by accepting. And we also have to repeat. And that qualifies us, actually, as Prabhupada mentions in so many places, that qualifies us to be guru, acharya even. Simply repeat what Krishna has said. Just repeat it. Not exactly like a parrot, because a parrot just vibrates sound. We should repeat with some kind of understanding. We have read it, we have heard it, and we have tried to explain it. And because unless we understand it, we cannot explain it, we cannot describe it. There has to be some understanding there. But the duty is to actually repeat it, unchanged, unaltered, and then there is potency in that. So Prabhupada was asked, well, we must preach with tact. And Prabhupada said, well, if you just repeat what is in our books, in my books, that will be tactful. All tact will be there. So the emphasis in our spiritual life is to hear from the proper source and to repeat properly without any kind of interpretation. Especially not to fall prey to trying to understand on the basis of our own mind, our own experience. Because actually, what is work carried on the basis of personal experience. What is that described in the Bhagavad Gita, right? Action performed on the basis of personal experience is described as what? Irresponsible work done in the mode of ignorance. Without reference to the scriptures, it's irresponsible work performed in the mode of ignorance. And what is wrong with irresponsible work is that it destroys the principles of scripture, the revealed scriptures. It destroys those principles when you do that, when you interpret or try to understand or explain on the basis of your own understanding, your own experience of life. Because Krishna is beyond the three modes of material nature. We cannot understand him from the mundane platform. To try to understand from the mundane platform is very dangerous. To take refuge in your own experience is very dangerous, because the reference point will be the speculative mind. And especially the problem there is that if you're thinking like that and you're engrossed in the modes of material nature, that will give rise to pride. Pride of knowledge. And the danger of that, of course, is that one will begin to think that one is elevated, you're very elevated, and everybody else is inferior, and you're the only person that knows. This is from the mundane platform. This is if you're taking refuge in your own knowledge, your own understanding. This is how it Prabhupada describes this psychology of what will happen. You'll eventually think you're a very advanced devotee, everybody else is inferior. And what will be adopted is a pretense of humility. I am a lowly person. I don't know anything. I'm very lowly. This false pretense. Because we don't really have that excuse as devotees, because we have the Shastra. We just have to repeat them. We don't have to explain them according to our own understanding. We just have to repeat them for the benefit of other living entities. And those who are devout, who are honest, will accept them in toto, just as Arjuna did. Arjuna gave up his relying on his mind. He accepted. What did he accept? When you give up relying on your own mind, what is that doing? What is that equivalent of doing? It's the equivalent of accepting that we have limitations. Because how can the spirit spark, a little spark, understand the whole? It's not possible. Therefore, you know, the attempt to do things on your own is just catastrophic. And it just leads to such a disturbance, because nothing becomes conclusive then. There's no agreement. Agreement comes on the basis of the Shastra. When we all agree, when we hear what is in the Shastra, and we hear it repeated faithfully, then we agree. Then we say, Jai. We don't end up scratching our heads and bewildered. No, but we understand what is true. The basis of humility really is the realization of aham brahmasmi, that I am a spiritual being. And with that understanding is the understanding of our own insignificance. How can the finite soul, spark, understand the infinite? It's not possible. But we can be faithful to the Shastra, and we can be very potent as preachers, simply by repeating, simply by just giving, Prabhupada gives it some understanding of how we can preach. He says, you just get from my books, you pick certain points, and you repeat them. No problem. Even a child can do that. Whatever I've said in a verse, you make those points, and you've said it. Done. Perfect. We may be fallen, that's a fact. And we don't have that excuse that I'm fallen. We don't have that excuse, because we have been given by Srila Prabhupada all the information that we need. We don't need to go anywhere else. We don't need to read any other books. We don't need to consult any materialistic people about any aspect. We have access to God through Srila Prabhupada and the Guru Parampara. So we should be enlightened in all aspects of our duty without bewilderment. But the problem comes when we don't accept. If we want to understand first, then it will not be possible, because Krishna is shown to us not as a result of our own endeavors, but as a result of revelation. Krishna shows himself to us according to his own free will. Was it Yayutamam Prapadyante Tamsajiva Bhajami Aham? As they surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. So what is required is surrender. Surrender and faith, just like Arjuna said, I accept everything you have said in total. It's not that we accept and reject according to our understanding. That doesn't work. What that's called a half-hen philosophy. Hen is producing golden eggs, so you only want the eggs, so you decide, well, I won't bother to spend money feeding it. I'll chop off its head and just have the eggs. I'll accept this, but I won't accept the other thing, you see. With a half-hen philosophy, then you become very disturbed when you hear certain parts that you don't like, which you don't. You don't accept, you become very disturbed. And if we play to this kind of mentality, then we also become compromised in our preaching. Because Srila Prabhupada, we are not concerned with this preamble, speaking only things that are pleasing. Certainly not. We have to speak the truth. And it's very difficult to speak the truth without disturbing people. In fact, if you disturb people, and you actually can close them, quieten them down a little bit, that's very beneficial for them. Because then they could stop the mind for a moment and begin to hear what is the truth. Let the truth enter their hearts. They become purified. But when we're busy speculating about this and that, it's very difficult to hear the truth. We're just understanding it according to our own preferences. So our consensus in spiritual life will be on the basis of the Shastra. And when we hear that spoken, it's not a matter of personality. It's not a matter of likes and dislikes. It's a matter of truth, because the truth is the truth. And it's the truth that is liberating. And that is what we want to hear, is what we want to agree upon. Not some speculative thing in which we are simply stating opinions or thoughts. This is of no value to us. So, Krishna performs pastimes. Krishna is not a human being. He's the Supreme Lord. Avajananti mamudha manishyam tanim ashritam, that the conditioned soul doesn't accept. Because Krishna appears as a human being, he's derided by the conditioned souls, because he appears as a human being. But he appears as a human being, but that form is actually his original form. His original form is that of a human being, but he's not a human being. So he performs pastimes as a human being. And why does he do that? Because the Shastra state, Natasya Karyate Karanam Cha Vishyate. The Krishna has nothing to do. Krishna has no obligations, no duties, no obligations to anybody. He has nothing to do. He's self-sufficient in so many opulences, everything infinite. He can svabhaviki jana bala kriya cha. Whatever he desires is automatically done by his potencies, by his different energies, without any effort on his part. So if he has nothing to do, the meaning of the pastime is that he performs pastimes to enjoy pleasure with his devotees. And he gets pleasure by appearing to be a human being. Prabhupada gives an example of this in for Devaki, because Devaki knew that Krishna was going to be born from her, but she didn't want him to be Vishnu. Because if he was Vishnu, she was thinking, well, my neighbors won't believe this. So she was wanting Krishna to appear as a human being. But Krishna was thinking, I must appear as Vishnu, because otherwise she won't believe that I've been born. Mm-hmm. So in that way, you know, Krishna is omnipotent, omnipotent, omnipresent. But he acts like a human being, simply for the pleasure of his devotees. And of course, as Narada Muni is mentioning here, it's sometimes quite bewildering that he does this, even for advanced devotees, even those who living entities who have transcended the modes of material nature. It's very difficult to them to understand that. But what a great blessing it is! What does Narada say here? Blazing. About Krishna's pastimes, that he comes and has these pastimes for our pleasure and for our enlightenment. Because to remember Krishna's pastimes has the potency of Krishna himself, the remembrance of these pastimes. So spiritual life is very simple, providing we adopt the right attitude. We do it correctly as recommended by the Mahajans. We follow in their footsteps. We follow Guru, Shastra, and Sadhu. We make that our checks and balances, not anything else, not any speculative mind or anything like that, or any opinion. Then we can agree on those things. And it is, of course, our duty to read the books and to explain. Because simply by hearing, we will not necessarily understand. Prabhupada says, after millions of years, we've been hearing, but still we don't understand. We've been hearing for such a long time, but still we're asking the same questions, year after year, still bewildered about the same things. And why is that? Because we hear, but we don't repeat. Because this is the method of assimilating the knowledge, is that we repeat it. We describe it, and we describe it faithfully, and then we understand it. Krishna reveals himself through that process. This is the process of devotional service. This is the essence of the Guru Parampara, the knowledge coming from Lord Brahma down through Narada Muni. So we don't want to fall prey to the pride of knowledge, if that happens to us, as Srila Prabhupada says, then we become obnoxious, thinking ourselves superior. There is no sense of humility. Someone was telling me yesterday, a devotee, that how in the Mahabharat, when you hear the Mahabharat, what is overwhelming is how civilized the living entities there are in their dealings. How sweet are the dealings between the living entities there. Nothing obnoxious. Even enemies come together in the evening time and eat and discuss. And next day they're going to be fighting each other. So, yes, following in the footsteps of Narada Muni, this is what we have to do. And make sure that our focus is conclusive, that what we're hearing is conclusive, that you do not speak unless you can back up your statement with some Shastric reference. It's not that you get put together a patchwork quilt of different points and think that's an answer. Either you know the answer or you don't know the answer. Either you've studied it in the books and you know it or you don't know it. And if we don't know it, we have to be honest. There's nothing wrong with that. We're not expected to be infallible. We are fallen. We are lowly. But it is our duty to actually repeat properly. That's our duty to each other also. So, Hare Krishna. Does anybody have any questions concerning these points, please?
Just thinking about Shastra, what constitutes Shastra? So obviously we have the Upanishads and the Puranas and the Vedas.
Yes.
But in addition, we have Chaitanya Charitamrita, spoken by Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami. We have the six Goswamis. Rupa Goswami wrote the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. He wrote the Lalita Madhava, the Vidagdha Madhava.
Right.
And all these contain elements that are not necessarily present in the Bhagavatam. When Rupa Goswami describes the intimate pastimes between Radharani and Krishna. So I was reflecting that these are also Shastra because they were revealed in the heart of Rupa Goswami by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Yes.
So these should be, at least I want your opinion on this, but this should be...
You don't want my opinion. You don't want my opinion.
Okay, so I want your comment on this.
Not my comment. You want to know what the answer is, right?
Yes, the answer.
Yes, okay.
But let me finish. The reason I ask this is because I'm a little disturbed by some things I've recently heard where it is being questioned whether dhotis and kurtas are really shastric, whether, there is this line of thought where things that are not in the Bhagavatam are not shastric. They are cultural or contextual. So
yes.
My question is, whatever is in these scriptures by the Goswamis and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and also in the Bengali context, are these cultural and contextual or are these absolute truth or spiritual?
There is Shruti and Smriti. We have to accept both. We have to accept what Krishna said and what is said about Krishna. So what Prabhupada's words and the words of the Acharyas, Narada Muni, Panchatriki Vidhi, they're all those things we accept. We have to accept both. We don't have to complicate lives. We've got the Srimad Bhagavatam. Narada Muni is disseminating knowledge of the Srimad Bhagavatam. It was on his instigation that Vyasadeva compiled it. And that is one of his main duties, is to disseminate the truth of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Spotless Purana. So we have so many... We have so many books. We don't have to complicate our lives by making more reference. Already we cannot assimilate what is in these books. You know, the CC. Shruti is that, that means knowledge which is heard. And the Smriti is that commentary on what Krishna has said. That is also, we have to follow those two things. Shruti and Smriti. Two things. Because I think it's the Mayavadis, they only follow the one, don't they? The Shruti, I think. They don't accept the Smriti. Yes.
Prabhupada's made it so easy for us by giving us his books. And I just listened to a lecture the other night. This was when we had four books. Prabhupada said, now we have four books. You can read these books for hundreds of years. And my challenge is anybody who's a follower of A.C. Bhaktivedanta should read his books. And he left a lot of books. There's so many other books too. But anybody who claims to be a follower of A.C. Bhaktivedanta should delve into his books that he gave to us specifically, so we wouldn't make the mistakes of Mayavad or Gyanivad or any of these other mistakes. And so Prabhupada, one of the first books he gave us was Nectar of Devotion. He gave us TLC, he gave us Gita, he gave us Nectar of Devotion, he gave us Krishna book.
Yes.
So I say anybody who has any doubts or confusions about this philosophy, don't worry about the myriad volumes of Vedas there. You'll be lost.
Absolutely.
You start at the beginning. Read the Ishapanishad. Read the Bhagavad Gita. Read the Krishna book.
Yes.
And it takes a while to read these books. So I know most of the devotees I know haven't read Prabhupada's books. Line them up and ask them. They haven't read the introduction of the Bhagavad Gita.
Right.
And that's why there's so many funny questions
right.
like kurtas and dhotis and
yeah.
who knows what. This could go on and on and on and on and on.
It will.
But if we just take an hour a day and read Prabhupada's books, and you're supposed to chant the rounds and follow the rules too.
Yeah.
But if you just read these books, we don't have any question. Oh, there's a new book. Read Bhagavad Gita, read Krishna book, read TLC. If you read these books, you'll go back to Godhead.
Yeah. Yes, that's true, because Prabhupada did give us the assurance that he's given us everything we need. And if we doubt that, then we're in problem. We have a problem. We started a problem right there. Yes, Mama?
Hare Krishna, thanks for a lovely class. I'm just wondering, Prabhu, is all of Narada Muni's blessings to the devotees, do they always come in the form of a curse? Because most of the ones, pastimes that I've read...
Yes, but there's no difference. It doesn't really matter whether he's cursing or blessing. It's the same thing. Coming from a pure devotee, it's the same thing. It's just like coming from Krishna. Whether he kills you or blesses you, it's the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
There is no difference. Krishna is all good.
Thank you.
Jai, all glory to Prabhupada.